Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Purnell and Aki are here, and as a special treat, we've got Bree here, and we have Stemmage here. Grant, Bree, Aki, Purnell, how is everyone doing?
All right.
Great.
Cool down came, so doing a lot better.
Cool down?
Yeah. It's been hot for here. It's been hot.
It was like 90 all day for me. I don't know what cool down you're talking about.
Oh.
Because it only came in the last hour. We got some rain.
That sounds refreshing. Especially after a hot day.
Oh, it's been good. It feels real good. I recommend
it. It's in the rain.
No, I ain't going all there now. I'll walk in it though.
But have you actually danced in the rain before in your lifetime?
Of course I have. I've also sang in the rain. I've yelled in the rain. I've stared in the rain. I've sat in the rain.
Shat in the rain?
No, that's disgusting.
I mean, I guess if I was in
the woods and I was lost.
Have you never gone camping in the rain?
If I was in an outhouse, I wouldn't be shitting in the rain. I'd be shitting in an outhouse.
I don't know. It's leaky roof.
I don't think it was ever asked that question before. Have you never shat in the rain?
Never shat in the rain in your life.
You haven't lived. Use that as a show title. Shat in the rain.
You haven't. You haven't lived until you've shat in the rain.
I'll just call it Hast Thou in the Rain.
There you go.
Oh, there man. We have a show title. Grant, how are you doing?
I'm fine. I just am stuck on the shat on the rain thing. Next time you taste like your next weird Mountain Dew flavor, you know, when you're reviewing it on stream. You're like, you know, it's just refreshing. It's just like it's a good shat in the rain, you know?
I was just watching an episode of a show called The League and
I love The League.
Yeah, so there was an episode about like, I don't know, something they were doing a beer run or something, but yeah, the one guy thought that the gardener was shitting in the garden. And then it turned out like one of the other guys ended up doing that. And then he found out his brother was like shitting in his shower and like smearing it in there. And I mean, like, yeah. So there's your shitting in the shower, right? Like that's your shat in the rain.
Very good.
Wow.
That's a glorious. Wow.
What do they call like waffling it when you like stomp it down the drain?
That's waffle stomping.
Yeah.
Waffle stomping. There it is.
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
Shouldn't be a thing. You were sophisticated. No, you're still in the trenches. Talk about crap in the rain.
It would also not make a good show title.
You thought you were sophisticated is the title of the show.
Pancake Stompers.
Oh, mercy.
I did just finish a video game about 30 minutes ago. Didn't know if I'd finish it in time. Forbidden Solitaire.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard about that.
Did you interview that on the show? Forbidden? That didn't happen. I mean, that's the whole. It's sort of this like very 90s GeoCities aesthetic of a game that's supposed to be haunted. It's got FMV and stuff in it. So you're playing. The game has its own operating system. You know, you boot into like little Windows and you have a messenger with your sister and you play the game and then you learn that the game it could perhaps be haunted. And so while you're playing the game, your sister's sending you messages about it. It's like the people who made Home Safety Hotline. And a bunch of other solitaire games, and it's just got that awesome like bad CG 90s high compression on the video and audio and stuff, but it's good. It's just really it's like a variation of traditional solitaire. They do their own spin on it. If you like solitaire, it's a lot of fun and it's cool to see all the funny 90s FMV stuff, but it's pretty fun. So I just finished that. And Joe, you were like, you know, I was like, I'm gonna be out of town when Horizon drops. and you're like, you got game streaming, don't you, or whatever. And I'm like, game, you know, man. You're right. I was like, I'm going to try it. And it didn't look very good. And no. I was trying to figure out why. And it turns out that they only run the Series S version of all the Xbox games on streaming. And I did not know that. And that's awful. If they're really wanting you to, like, you know, buy into this service. I mean, I think, like, all the other ones, like Luna and the NVIDIA one, what's it called? GeForce Now, I guess it's called. They're running, like, you can pay $10 a month and they're running them on 580s, you know? So I don't know. That was a bit of a disappointment. And so I just decided not to play Horizon from the other side of the country. I'm just going to wait for my high fidelity home version. But
when are you going to be able to enjoy frames. That?
Well, I booted it up last night and played for about 15 minutes or so.
So you're back home
again. Yes, I am, until Saturday. And then I disappear again for 3 weeks.
Fun. So now where are you going?
Yeah, I'm going to the UK with my wife. We've been playing it for like a long time. And it's not going to be cheap, but we've been saving. It's going to be great. We're all booked up. We're heading out and we're going to London and Edinburgh and Amsterdam. And then we're coming home. A triangle.
Dude, that sounds freaking awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be rad. I'm excited. We're going to do our best to, like, we're going to play a game. Like, how can we spend as little money as possible? Like, we have Airbnbs have, like, little kitchenettes and things, so we're going to try to be smart about it. But maybe I'll see how the streaming is from the UK. I might just have to play some Horizon. Although, you know, it's weird. It makes me want to pay for the NVIDIA one. Even, you know, I'm paying for it twice that way. I'm paying for, like, the fact that I have access to it with Xbox, and then I'm paying for playing it on a better computer with NVIDIA. it seems wrong to have to do that. But anyway.
Dude, it's so fun. It is so fucking good.
Cool. You digging it?
Oh, so much.
Awesome.
I have put, I think, over 10 hours already.
All right on. That's great. I remember seeing your name floating around in 5. So I'm looking forward to that as well. With this one,
I love seeing friends' names in the game.
Yeah, they don't call them Drivatars anymore, but they kind of are. It's like they're just sticking your friends' names on cars with cars just they have,
run and just running them around the world.
Road. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Anyway,
I'll friggin' show you Dale North. I beat him in a race once.
You text him and be like, "Take that." He doesn't even know why.
I think I tagged him on Facebook, actually.
That's great.
Beautiful.
Love it.
So where did your travels take you? What have you been up to? I know you had your show with the Arcadian when John was on, he talked about, down in Virginia.
Yeah, some was for family, some was for fun. I did go to Virginia and play the Super Strikers CD release show, which I think was just after... I don't remember if it was just before or just after that Arcadian was on their show when that happened, but he drove up. He drove all the way from Oklahoma, from Dallas. That's right, because he's insane.
Yeah,
but yeah, we had a great CD release party in Fredericksburg, Virginia, of all places, and they had like two projectors that were synced up to make a really wide screen so we could have all our visuals there, and it was very chill, and we sold a bunch of CDs, and it was at an arcade/pinball place, so it's like... What better venue to play a nerdy show than at a place covered in arcade machines and pinball machines and stuff? And so it was just really super fun. So that was a good time.
When's the album going to be on iTunes? When can I?
Great question. There was a discussion about that today. Let's just say we all got a little busy after the show. We did the show and then fell back into reality. And we have a call about that tomorrow, trying to figure out, we're just going to roll it out, try to roll out the right way. But we're going to be doing, it'll be up soon. So more as it develops. So yes, but
I want to throw you money for music.
Sweet. I will happily throw you music for money.
Yay.
There you go.
Yay.
You don't actually owe me any money. You just like throwing money at music, which I appreciate about you.
I do.
So
I do.
Mm-hmm.
I like supporting bands that I enjoy. Like my iTunes library has been growing exponentially since I went back to iPhone after Windows Phone.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's like, where you're... Yeah, because you... That's
first stuff. Time around with that. iPhones, I bought, like, a few dozen songs. It was just stuff that I couldn't find anywhere else, and I'm just like, eh, I don't need, eh, whatever. Eh, I don't like their DRM. I don't like their file types. I still hate their original file types. I don't know how to convert them away from, like, I don't even know what the hell the file is anymore. Like, W4M, I don't know. There's numbers in it, I think.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
But ever since going back to iPhone, I just, it's so much easier for me to buy an album on iTunes, pay the $10, download it, and listen to it, than to go on a website, pirate it, download it, make sure the tags are good, make sure the artwork's good, convert it into an iTunes library, update my iTunes library, plug my phone in, sync it. Like, it's just buy it. Support the artist. Yeah.
Agreed. I'm with you.
Indeed. Indeed.
Yep. And speaking of growing libraries, I'll just mention this real quick. I'm trying to, like, this is my game. My game life has been weak, y'all. It's been weak. It's been bad. I have my life. Like, I bought Pragmata, but I've only played it for, like, I don't know, 10 minutes. Oh, Replaced is sitting on the Xbox because I got the Game Pass, but I haven't tried it yet. Claire and I are still inching through Resident Evil. What's that?
Get on Pragmata.
I know. But I don't know what to do. I can't, like... I bought it on PlayStation, not Switch, because, of course.
Yeah, understand.
And so now I'm leaving the country, so whatever, it's going to sit there for a little longer. It's kind of a bummer. But I have been inching through Resident Evil slowly, but I have, like, it's just we're lousy with games right now. You know what I mean?
To be fair, I mean, your logic is, I'm sorry I'm so lousy with games, guys. I'm living an awesome and fulfilling life at the moment.
Yeah, I know. Everything is just too amazing. Yeah, I have to find good things to complain about because there's no bad things to complain about. That's what I'm actually saying.
Yeah, I feel that.
Have you tried that new McDonald's burger? It's so good. Fuck that. No, I'm just making sure.
I didn't know they had a new burger.
I think they have one. I haven't tried it. I think there is a new one. I was trying to find something good.
Burnell, you were so hard to understand tonight.
Well, it's because I'm washing a bottle.
Ah.
Wouldn't that be wise? Because I'm washing a bottle.
Yep, that'll do it.
Yeah, see? It's usually the simplest answer.
Truly.
Why do I understand indeed. You tonight? Well, he's clearly washing a bottle. That's got to be it.
So besides washing a bottle, what have you been up to this weekend?
Went to a friend's vow renewal. So that was an excuse to drive a little bit and get down some narrow roadways and the like. Saw some friend I haven't seen in a while. Spending time with some family, helping out family, because everybody's dealing with some crap lately. Yep. And for the most part, just trying to endure. Spend too much on board games, so now I got to go on some kind of stupid hiatus to be a responsible adult. Stuff like that. Also, I'm going to a board... Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just trying to ask...
No.
I didn't know you could go... You, like, attend a vow renewal. Like, I know that's a thing people do, but I didn't know it was like a... Like a thing.
I didn't either, but I respect that they did it that way because they basically use it as an excuse to have a party with their friends, and I'm not going to say no to that.
I'm not going to lie. Like, I have very recently been talking to Ashley about doing something for our 20 year in 2 years.
Wow.
I want to see if we can rebook our original place that we got married and had the reception. And I want to get the one-ups back up here to perform again.
Is it still there? I'm saying that in a serious way, not in a joking way.
As far as I know, yeah. It was a former church converted over to a reception hall. So we just did the actual ceremony in the church, quote, church side, and then went over to the cafeteria side and had the party. I figure we could just redo the party. Awesome. And since all my family is, like, dead or hates me, I'll just replace them with friends like y'all.
Yeah, invite me.
What if I'm dead by then, Joe?
Even you, Aki.
What if... Nah, I'll only make that joke about myself.
Don't count me into things. What did I do? What?
You're going to a party. We'll see your face.
You're coming to my party in 2 years.
Unlikely, but okay.
Now we know.
Like, I'm going to be honest.
Cool game you can review in a Gumpla, but you have to come to the event to get the code.
The idea of like doing vow renewal and all that like sounds great for other people to enjoy, but the idea of me having to run another party for that many people anytime soon, it sounds absolutely fucking awful.
you just did that for 20 years.
Well, I mean, the trick is to keep it simple. I mean, I kept my wedding very simple,
and it was still very complicated somehow.
Wow. I'd be like, look, there's food on a grill. I paid a guy to cook them. Get your ass out here. That's all. I'm done. Yeah. And that's why I'm not married.
Yeah.
Because ain't no woman going to hear that and go, that sounds like a great idea for him.
Oh my God. Can you imagine if I got like a dozen arcade machines brought in for this thing?
Oh my gosh.
No, I mean, I can imagine.
Arcade machines, the one-ups playing, all of us partying. We could do a live podcast.
Yeah.
Fuck that. Get away from this shit.
I don't want to work. I want to bang on my drums all day in Drum Mania.
Indeed.
You have a Drum Mania set up?
No, I was joking. It was about getting arcade machines. Like, hey, go get a Drum Mania.
I'll get a friggin' air hockey table. We'll get one of those.
Yeah, buddy.
You need to get one of those Pong machines that I played with Injury after our wedding.
I want to get a skee-ball lane brought in.
Yeah, do it.
Or for Grant, you got to get some pinball machines.
Oh, man, I would love that. Grant, what pinball have you been playing lately? Bree, what pinball have you been playing lately?
Yeah, I haven't been playing, but I did find a Deadpool in the wild for sale like 2 days ago. It was pretty cool.
How much was it, by the way?
You know, I don't know if I checked the price. Because I was there's no way I could afford I know. I don't know. Let me look at the picture and see if there's a price tag on that. Nope. No price tag.
Nothing.
Nope.
I bet it was like more than $40.
Well, yeah, clearly.
Yeah.
Do you see I didn't even realize until I just looked at the picture. Apparently there was a wrestling console game, or not console game, but you know what I mean? A cabinet like next to it in the picture. I didn't even see what that was. Superstars,
probably F back then.
Yeah, Superstars. They had that for sale as well, apparently.
What did they have at your wedding? And were they picking out a machine or something for something?
For me?
Did I make that up? Yeah.
No, we went to a vintage arcade after the dinner.
Yes. Okay.
And we did that, played a whole bunch of pinball, and sadly they put out the new Beetlejuice table right after I left. But I played the new table. I played the new Pokemon table. One of my wedding guests got the like high score on the Elton John machine for the arcade there. So no, we had a good time at the arcade. That was super fun.
Awesome. Nice.
Yeah.
I was in Boston, and I went to I did find one pin place. I'm putting a video in the Discord of it, but it's very small. It was it was called Pop's Pinball, and it was basically just a room that emptied into this kind of a outdoor mall kind of thing, like a mall that's like kind of curved and has like a center area where there's tables and chairs and stuff. But you just walk in, it's just quarter play. They had some 70s games and some more modern games, and it was just really, and they all worked. And no one was really there. It was very chill. So I did find a pin spot in my travels, which was fun.
Nice.
Are you going to look for some good arcades over in, Europe?
Yeah. I don't even know what's available over there. There's not a lot of like pinball specifically, but there might be some arcade stuff. I just have to see. So I'm on the hunt. This place did have a Popeye machine. Which was really fun. It was it's a gigantic game. It's like a big wide body game, and there's a giant, what's the dude's name? Not Ludo. That's from Princess Bride.
Wimpy?
Ludo? What?
Wimpy? Ludo.
I thought you said Bluto. I thought you said not Bluto.
No, the bad guy. Ludo is from
Labyrinth. Isn't
Ludo from Princess Bride from Labyrinth?
Yeah, from Labyrinth.
Labyrinth. That's Ludo. Yeah. That's Ludo. Bluto is...
Oh, you said not Ludo. I was like, I thought you said not Bluto. I was like, well, that has to be Wimpy.
No. Well, it's a giant Bluto head in the middle of the machine, and you have to slam balls into it. Anyway, it was pretty fun. So I got a kick out of playing Popeye for the first time. That's all I have to say about that. It's good stuff.
I want to visit our local arcade, which we now have again. There's one about 40 minutes away up at the Wyoming Valley Mall, the same mall you used to visit, Purnell. They just opened a brand new arcade. They have X-Men Pinball, Dr. Dude, Royal Rumble, Harley Davidson, a couple others. They have Mario Kart 2 there, Tetris, Maximum Force, Big Buck Hunter, a couple of Mortal Kombats. It's pretty nice to see an arcade in our area again. It has been a very long time. A mall
would resurrect one at this point. It's a miracle a mall's open, and they resurrected a decent arcade. That's good.
Yeah, it's a really good looking one too. So I wanna get up there and check it out.
You have a place called Bartari?
Yeah, up in Scranton. I wanna get there too.
That's in Scranton. Gotcha.
Yeah, Wilkes-Barre is about 40 minutes from us. Scranton's about an hour.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Which I want to go there too. My sister's been there a bunch. She says it's a blast.
Cool.
I'm going to round one at this point. I'm grateful it's there, but it's about the same distance as your arcade is from you to get to it. But they have a popping machine now, which is all I want. It's expensive as shit, though. I don't know what they were thinking with that. Oh, they were thinking Parnell would pay it, so spend it, charge it. But
how
I don't
much
like
do those go for?
Well, the per player or machine.
Both.
Well, I had access to a machine back in January for like $3,700, but I talked myself out of it because I'd have to find a place to store it, and I had to move it, and all that stuff, and I had to question, would I really play it that much compared to just saying I have it? So for now, I was like, no, it's not responsible to get it.
Dude, you would play it that much.
I don't think I would. If I had a bigger house where I could, like, hey, I could just kick it in the corner somewhere and not sweat it, oh, absolutely. But my current house, it would take up valuable real estate to be here. And I told myself, nah, don't do it right now. And the machine that they got at the arcade is so much nicer than the ones that were for sale that I feel like I would have seen that and wished I had that machine instead. It's easier to choose like option settings and stuff like that. It's just a way cooler machine. But I'm sure it also costs way more than $3,000 or $3,700. How much it costs to play the actual game. The game costs, I can't remember the exact amount of money per credit, but just look at it this way, like 300 credits for $50 or so with a few bonuses you can get. And one play of the normal mode of the game is 16 credits.
Wow.
If you play the basic, yeah, the default mode is a mode that no actual popping player is going to ever play, and that costs 8 credits. So if you're going to go there and play it, you really want to be able to do well on it, because that's the way you're going to get the majority of the actual play out of it to justify even remotely how much they're charging you to use it. But otherwise, it's like, we'll see. But every once in a while thing, I'm fine with paying it, but I hate that price is that much.
You got to find one of those arcades that you just pay one price and you get to play everything for a set time.
Oh, that would be great, but it definitely won't be that machine there, to tell you that much. Apparently it's a new machine that was made like more English friendly.
If you feel like traveling to north a bit, the Lancaster area, the arcades, the one by Adam's house, there's two of them near there. Those are just go in, pay a price, get a wristband, and when it starts flashing, your time's up.
Oh, that's pretty cool. And they have popping machines there?
I don't know if they have popping machines, but they have they have multiple locations. So I don't know what all they have where, but yeah, might be worth checking out just for the arcade fun.
Yeah, my arcade's like $20 and it's all day play. So whatever machines they have, that's what they have though. So they rotate out machines from time to time.
Because my challenge is that the only two games I ever really play at the arcade now are popping music since they got it. And I play Pump It Up to try to lose weight. And now I got to get back into the groove of doing Pump It Up to lose weight because I became lax in the last few months dealing with like family stuff and not driving as much. So now I got to get back into the swing of it and suffer in front of a crowd until I get back into being able to do real song difficulty. So
there you go.
So it's kind of funny. Go to a bar and make look like a fool trying to start conversation with single people. Can't do it. Go in front of a group of people like a fool dancing on a machine. Check this shit out. I love it.
Yeah.
but like, I don't know what it is about it. Like, it just is a lot of fun to do. And when you start getting into the swing of it again, it feels great.
Good for you.
I recommend dance games to anybody. So great. You got to do that when you go over to Europe.
Yeah. I don't know how it works there. People dance in the UK probably better than me. I'll find something. Well, I'll stomp on some arrows. That's fine. Let's go. I'm ready. No, I did find a place in London with a gigantic ball pit. Claire's like into ball pits, but they just don't really exist as much anymore. I actually looked into what it would cost to rent a ball pit. More than you might think, I guess, is the way to put it. But the only places that have that out here are like these little kind of Instagram friendly, you know, pink pits and the boba shop. You know what I mean? Like, they're just these tiny little ones just there for taking your own picture. But this one apparently is legit. So I will report back and let you know if we get any like weird British diseases from their ball pit.
Very good. Mm-hmm. And from the UK to Dave K, we got Dave K joining us. Dave, how are you doing?
Oh, hello. Hi, everyone.
How was that? Everybody doing okay? How was that shit?
That was not one bad. That was not bad. And I have to say, I too am also sick and tired of all these fucking hipster Instagram ball pits. People are afraid to talk about it, but it is a national scourge. I'm sick of it. They've ruined ball pitting for all of the sensible adults like myself who still enjoy it. Look, if I want to jump into what used to be a municipal pool that is now full of disgusting plastic balls, it will give me Legionnaire's disease. That is my business. I do not need it curated
Agreed.
by a bunch of fucking aesthetes.
There was a thing, right? Like some girl, some like Twitch streamer jumped into one and landed on her butt and broke her back or something. Wasn't that a thing?
That was a couple years ago.
Like five or six years ago, 7 years. And so that kind of like, I think
that was that at TwitchCon or was that?
It was at TwitchCon.
Yeah. So, you know, just a bunch of turds ruin it for the rest of us is sorry for the back girl. But yeah, you gotta know better.
They had like those jousting podiums up, and she went to jump off it and land on her butt, not realizing that there was nearly zero padding.
And oh yeah,
she just jumped straight onto her ass. Like a normal ball pit, you should be able to do that and be fine. But that ball pit was not to code, as they say.
Yeah.
Our one local amusement park, Knoebels Grove, used to have a ball pit. I don't know if they still do or not, but you're just.
I would love to join Baltimore City Municipal Ball Pit Commission, specifically so that we can help regulate the depth and volume of all these unregistered ball pits that are breaking people's tailbones.
Yes. I love this.
That's how I can give back to society after all that I've taken from it.
I mean, at this point, this has to be done.
Oh, boy.
Hell yeah.
You could be called like ball pit to more ball. Wait, ball, ball, to, no.
Ball pit more. Ball pit more.
Ball pit more. Yeah.
Be more balls is also right there.
Be more balls.
Charm City balls.
Balls not backs. I don't know what we're even doing. Don't
stop snitching. Start balling.
How about caw balls for the Ravens?
That might not play outside of like Raven Stadium itself, but like in the stadium, yeah, that would work.
People would do that. Balls.
God, imagine how many, imagine the amount of, like, racist dads in purple camo just barfing into that thing midway through a game that we're losing. Can you imagine? Jesus, what a liability that would be. That's why they need to update the rules for the ball pit commission.
Oh, my Lord. Beautiful.
I guess now I have to go to law school and somehow leverage myself onto this.
I support you in any way I can. Let's do this. Thank you.
If you can give me a law degree and help me pass the bar without me going to law school, that would be a huge help.
what we need is, like, we've got a simulator for everything. We need ball pit manager simulator. You know, we like a Sonic Burger simulator or whatever.
Ball pit tycoon. Yeah, we absolutely
ball pit tycoon. That's it. You got it. Yeah. You nailed it.
Oh my god. 100%. Who could we get to develop this?
What about the guy that puts your cat in all those hidden cat games?
Dave knows what's going on.
Hey, I love. We got an idea. All of them. Listen.
Yeah.
You have to tap the pits to keep the balls full. Otherwise, people break their backs. So you got to keep it. You got to actively keep the balls going through the. Or they get.
You can make t-shirts that say "Tap the Pits."
Oh my god! Yes.
With like fake armpit stains on them.
Yeah, we really need to go offline and have this discussion. Yeah. People are going to steal all this.
Yeah, please. If anyone is still listening to any of this, do not steal our idea.
Oh man, I have another idea that I don't want people to steal. I thought of this earlier today. Remember Squeeze It?
Yeah, I was just thinking about those.
That candy syrup gel that you just, it's in a toothpaste tube and you just squeeze it and lick the tip.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it fucked up my blood sugar, probably.
THC infused Squeeze It. That's what we need.
Honestly, that is a really good idea.
Squeed!
Hell yeah.
Oh my god.
The mascot can be a blazed out pig. Just a pig smoking an enormous blunt with X's for eyes.
How do we patent this idea?
If we can get someone to like timestamp when you came up with it, that might hold up for copyright.
Nah, you better get to a law firm post haste.
Is anyone in this chat a public notary?
9:39 p.m. Tuesday, May 19th,
2026.
What if you made the dispensing tube look like an insulin pen?
Oh, hell yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just all the same. It's all related. It's not great.
Fucking just put not meat great. And insulin at this point. What is it really going to hurt?
True.
That's true.
Like, that's why infusion stuff exists. Like, fuck making bacon mayonnaise or whatever. Let's put this to science that we actually need.
I'm okay with bacon mayonnaise.
I mean, I am too, but like after I think we've hit like a literal saturation point with it. We need to expand.
I've had bacon vodka, so yeah.
Why?
Dare I ask how it was?
It was surprisingly not bad. I also make habanero wine, so you know. Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
So do you step on the peppers yourself or?
No.
Okay. Just throw it in with the grapes, you mean? Like
it's just a giant wooden vat full of habaneros and a bunch of just barefoot habaneros. Women are stepping on it.
Yeah, no, I did learn, however, that I'm immune to capsaicin, but other people are not, and so I can't actually make it in the house ever again because it basically makes giant house full of mustard gas.
Yeah, nice. Fume up that place. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
You're immune to capsaicin.
I just apparently am not bothered by it in the slightest. So I did not notice when, you know, someone came in gagging when they came home from work. Like, I had not noticed it the entire time. I eat like 9 million Scoville challenge foods and I'm like, okay, whatever. Yeah.
You're a bird.
Oh man, I gotta air out this habanero wine. Hey, why are there so many dead birds like landing around the house?
We need to get her on Hot Ones.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Put that bald son of a bitch through his paces. He's getting cocky.
Jumping back to the vodka, the best vodka I ever had was the byproduct of gummy bears. We bought whipped cream vodka, filled a jar with gummy bears, and poured vodka in there, let it sit for a few days, and we took it to Magfest.
Wow.
Green Apple Jolly Rancher is probably my favorite vodka concoction like that.
Well, yeah. That's not the end, though, because at the very, very end, where all the bears are gone, that little bit of vodka juice left, that is the nectar of the gods.
Yeah. Exquisite.
Cummy bear, we called it.
Because
it was just a mixture of everything naughty.
That's a different hotel room.
Yeah.
Different beverage, too, if I understand it right. You're still drinking in your sweatpants, but like other than that, it's completely different. No parts of it are the same.
Oh, man. I don't know if I've had any weird infusions. I went to a vodka bar one time in Denver, and it all tasted really weak. And I don't know if they actually, when you go to a vodka bar and they're giving you flights, if they actually do kind of water down stuff on purpose. Is that how that works?
They'd probably have to, just for like liability reasons.
That's what I figured. Yeah. So, but it just was a pretty, I don't know. It was strange. I need to have what y'all are having.
I've never known anyone to drink vodka for reasons that weren't like, I want to break laws and not be aware of it while I'm doing it. Like, I want to wake up naked driving a cop car in a state I don't live in. Like,
well, you wouldn't be driving the car if you wake up, unless driving unconscious, sleep driver.
So I think some of the most creative drinking I have ever done has to be with the medieval organization. It's known as the SCA, the Society for Creative Anachronism, but it is
I got friends in that.
Yeah, jokingly also referred to as the Society for Creative Alcoholics. So
yeah, that tracks.
Yeah, yeah. Medieval parties are the best parties.
Yeah, you go hard. That's for sure.
Eating off stale bread plates, which you can then also eat. Hell yeah. Trenchers are badass. Regular, like, non-edible plates are for fucking chumps.
Who needs paper? Those taste like shit.
We also need utensils made out of the same stuff. Like, I want to take the last bite of my steak and then just eat the fork. You know what I mean? Like, I just
don't have
anything left over at all.
Dude, give me a bread fork. I thought we were living in the future. Where is all this stuff?
Yeah. Yeah.
I want my bread fork. I want my weed insulin. Like, dude, this is the fall of Rome. Let's actually do real fall of Rome shit. Yeah, be a ball pit tycoon. Fucking sitting up with my feet on a big oak desk, snapping my suspenders, looking over my ball pit empire.
Yeah.
What could be?
Let's do real fall of Rome shit, since we're already living through it. Like, what are we doing here?
I don't know. Reviews, probably. Speaking of, should we?
Oh, yeah. That thing we're all here to do.
Probably a good idea.
I know you got to leave soon, Bree. It's not like we recorded things already, but you know.
I know.
Should we dive into reviews?
Sounds like a plan to me.
Let's do it.
Do it.
All right, let's get into these. First game to talk about tonight is Directive 8020, developed and published by Supermassive Games. Released May 12th, Series X and S, PS5, PC, $49.99. Earth is dying and humanity is running out of time. 12 light years from home, Tau Ceti offers a small sliver of hope. When the colony ship Cassiopeia crash lands on the planet, its crew soon realizes they are far from being alone. Hunted by an alien organism capable of mimicking its prey, the crew of the Cassiopeia must outwit their pursuers to make it home alive as they battle to survive. They're confronted with the hardest choice of all. To save themselves, they must risk the lives of everyone on Earth. Gasp. Bree, what's Directive 8020?
So this is a Dark Pictures game, but instead of being set in a modern setting or a past setting, it's set in the future where Earth is dying and there are astronauts on their way to Tau Ceti F to make way for a colonization ship and hopefully make a survival setting for humankind. The ship crash lands and all hell breaks loose with alien life hunting them. Being a Dark Pictures game, this is very cinematic. There are opening credits with establishing shots to the game. The first teaser for this game was actually in a post-credit scene for The Devil and Me. Apparently, the Dark Pictures series was supposed to be an 8-part series, like seasons of a show. This concept was altered a little when the team realized they wanted to not be tied to a schedule that would compromise the quality or content. And so this is season two or the start of season two of the Dark Pictures series. Directive 8020 was meant to be a slightly bigger game. That all said, this is a third-person sci-fi horror piece with a lot of quick time events and branching paths. You should be prepared for that concept before diving in if you weren't aware, because I don't know that they really advertised very well that this was, in fact, a Dark Pictures game. The story is also
Yeah, I had no clue it was.
This is delivered episodically. There are 8 episodes of a similar length, about an hour apiece. So you can easily play this in chunks or on your schedule like a TV series. There's a musical interlude like at the end of Alan Wake. And then there's like flashback scenes to help fill in the world building backstory. Some of the story is told out of order, giving you snippets of story as a teaser in the beginning of the episode and then rewinding to the rest of the story in the present time that led up to that. You can play this in single player or multiplayer. In multiplayer, you have the option to do movie night, like in previous games, where you can have up to 5 people in couch co-op. You can also play this online with a friend. And then you can choose your difficulty as well. There is forgiving for those who want to just focus on the story. Challenging, which involves defensive parries and critical button presses without warning. And lethal, which is fast and brutal presses. I don't know that I'm up for lethal anytime soon, but, you know, for those people who are totally all about that, it's there for you. You can also do custom difficulty where you can adjust quick time event warnings and difficulty and make the parry recharge instant to slow and even change the color of your threat indicators. One more choice to make before you start, whether you have an explorer or survivor playstyle. Explorer allows you to use turning points to rewind and make different decisions like reversing a character's death. I'll explain turning points a little bit more in a second. Survivor only allows turning points after you survive the ending, if you survive. There actually is a way to just like kill everybody and fail the game. While there is combat in the game, this isn't really about fighting the aliens. It's more of a stealth piece. Avoiding detection, you can crouch with B, you can crouch run to avoid detection. The game will detect things like if your flashlight is on or not, and you can get found that way. You can step on glass and that'll alert the creatures that you're there. You also have things you can use to make distractions if you're quick. Overall, though, I felt like the stealth was pretty easy to manage. Overall, gameplay is a combination of exploration of objects and space to fill the backstory and character development, choice point, decision making, quick time events, and stealth mechanics. That's pretty much your gameplay loop, I guess. This is really just, it's a narrative adventure, very cinematic. The story surrounds a crew waking up in space with damage to the ship, the tension of discovering what caused that, and the realization that the real mission they are on for the sake of humanity may not be what they thought. Where the story shines to me is how the characters interact with each other and their suspicions about each other and how the situations all play out. Like, I won't give away any spoilers, obviously, because this has twists and turns in the plot that I don't want to spoil. It also takes place from the perspective of several people on the crew, so you'll switch between different characters, sometimes rapid fire, which is interesting. And each episode focuses on a period of time or a character or two, or, you know, just the crew as a whole, and expands the story beats as it progresses. One of the big points of tension in this is between the characters. Supermassive did a good job of making us care. Well, they did a decent job of making us care about our characters and filling out their profiles in a short period of time. You get to make choices that alter the characters a little bit. You can roleplay a bit based on your decision-making processes or what you think suits the character best that you've been presented and made choices for. When the alien entity on the ship ramps up its activity, that creates a lot of doubt between the characters. Secrets are revealed that cast shadows on people's motivations. And the more you explore the game for secrets, which are actually like a collectible of sorts in the game, like video logs and things like that, the more you'll understand that there's something bigger going on here. Another thing you'll be doing a lot of in this game is little puzzles to figure out, like codes to doors, security locks, and things like that. So paying attention to your surroundings is a must. The more you explore, the more you'll get out of the story, really. There are a lot of useful settings in the game, from controller remapping to subtitles, closed captioning. There's a streamer mode, to graphic settings for accessibility, like removing motion blur. There's a ton of accessibility features like QuickTime event hold to complete versus mashing. There's color settings and just a lot of good accessibility settings. Graphics are stylized realism. If you're familiar with Supermassive other games like The Quarry or Until Dawn or any of the Dark Picture games, you're going to be familiar with the style. The atmospheric vibe was done like spurring on tension and the like. The vibe was really good there. I think also the level design for the ship felt like it made sense. And anytime you're in an exploration setting, I like for it to make a certain amount of sense for the environment you're relying on so much to feel like the realistic character of its own. And given the ship has like an Oracle AI attached to it, like, you know, and just you're going to be running around the ship a lot. I felt like that was important. And I think they did a good job with it. Some of the detail work, like water droplets on glass or breath on glass, looked fantastic. Skin textures and hair were done exceptionally well. There were some absolutely stunning scenes with grotesqueries that I wish I could express better without giving away the plot.
Hair.
Yeah. Music was pretty good, but nothing really stood out to me as like a sparkling moment in the soundtrack or score. I recommend playing this with headphones. It was really weird to have a Portishead song, Rhodes, specifically in a game for 2 weeks in a row while it was like...
Same song in both games?
Yeah, it was in mixtape too. And while I love Portishead and that song, it was like, it felt out of place, even though it was really powerful in that moment. And it was weird too, because I had a stream up in the background that was playing mixtape, and I was like, oh, did I just get to that part? And I was like, nope, that's coming out of this screen. That's weird. So other songs at the end just felt like a good break from the awful things we would just learned or experienced. If you enjoyed something like the Alien series of movies and games, you might like this. Other inspirations for this come from like Solaris, Event Horizon, Pandorum, Prometheus, general cosmic horror, and of course The Thing. Just like, I don't know, I just have notes here that are like, here's some other thoughts in no particular order. I like the turning point rewind feature. I think part of what made it harder to complete the other Dark Picture or Supermassive games was the time sink. So if you make a poor choice, you could have wasted a few hours on a run that otherwise would have gotten you somewhere. So this, you know, it's like a visual novel where you have certain choice points where you can kind of rewind and go back to and replay the story from there. If you see someone's death or you realize like, that was a dumb decision, you can just rewind. That was like a newish feature to the series. So yeah. I appreciate the settings options for accessibility because sometimes I'm just not in the mood for a hard playthrough and just want to play the story.
What kind of options did they have?
Well, I already mentioned that earlier, just that there's like QuickTime button presses and things like that that you can adjust how they work.
So.
Yeah, it's okay. The stealth system is a little lacking when compared to stealth systems in other games. Like it was fairly rudimentary, but this is a new mechanic for a Dark Pictures game, so it worked fairly well, all things considered. Most of the acting performances were pretty solid. However, some of the acting, or more so the animations, seemed a little wooden at times. I don't know how else to explain that. Additionally, I felt like the audio sync was not always matched with the animations, and that took me out of the immersion a little. There's also a realism in that I could appreciate, like, as far as the wooden, I don't know, just sometimes the characters just felt a little flat in their reactions to things, but that's also sometimes realistic when you're dealing with, like, the trauma of what just happened to me. So that could be a little bit writing, could be a little bit something else. some of the aspects of the game, like stealth, seemed a little repetitive and even predictable. If you're familiar with Source Inspirations, it was a little... Oh, yeah. This was a big one for me. It was a little weird not having the curator have a bigger role in the story like in the previous games. So if you're familiar with the Dark Picture Anthology, you have the curator as this character who's like a narrator who kind of interferes, not really interferes, but he like shows you the consequences of things and that he's watching and whatever. And he is in the game, but it takes a lot of work to get him to show up. Or you have to be like really, really exploring, like explicitly, intensely to get this early on. I didn't see him until the final chapter.
Wow.
And that was because I happened to explore this one area, like just really digging, like this has got to be leading to something that I'm going to miss if I don't go down this path and like really explore it. And sure enough, I found a coin and then I started having some interaction with the curator. So there are some post-credit scenes, so stick around for that. At the point of this review, I've only played one iteration of the story. I have not explored all the branching paths and secrets that the game has to offer. There are essentially chapter selection points available with the turning point system, and each chapter kind of tells you what you're missing on the turning point menu. So when you go back, you can find all the things. I think that is a good... I think this is a good standalone game that people might enjoy, even if they've not played any of the Dark Pictures games. That's a good thing. I don't know that this was well advertised as a Dark Pictures game to begin with. Maybe that was on purpose, because, yeah, like I mentioned earlier, at quick glance, this just isn't the same style of game. But it is, you know, functionally what you would expect out of a Supermassive game. So, yeah.
Very good. Anything else?
I'm ready to go to the verdict, I think.
All right, well, let's talk about the price on this bad boy. It's $50. What do you think?
All right. Overall, I enjoyed this one, but I don't know if it's the best entry in the series. Like, I haven't exactly sat down to rank them all yet either. The main story takes, like, 8-ish hours to complete, so it's like watching a short-form series. And I would say this is a bit of a sleeper. Like, it's not as high action as some other entries in the series. It leans heavily on the atmosphere for tension and interest. If you can make it to chapter 6, like, it really picks up. So I'm going to give this a try it, leaning toward a buy it. Like, it's still making it to my favorite games of the year list so far.
Yeah.
I just think it's missing a little something to make it a standout buy it at that price, if that makes sense.
Sounds good.
Yeah, like maybe grab it on a sale or something. If you're a big fan of the Dark Picture series, like just pick it up because you're gonna enjoy it. You already like the series. You already like Supermassive games. Like just go for it when you can.
Did you see the deluxe edition contents?
I did not look that up. Tell me what it is.
The deluxe edition, of course, contains digital art book and soundtrack, the usual.
Ooh, okay.
It contains a Dark Pictures outfit pack.
Mm-hmm.
Where you could play as sleep technician Carter in Jason's outfit from House of Ashes, or Ooh. Science technician Anders in Julia from Man of Medan's driving trip outfit.
Mm.
There are all new collectibles in the game, figures from their previous titles, and there are cinematic filters, including black and white, 8mm style, and VHS.
Hmm. That is really cool. Like, I don't know that it's required to enjoy the game. If you're already a huge fan of the series, that sounds like something you might want to go for, because I could see some of those filters making some playthroughs really interesting, especially in the context of some of the inspirations that they had for the series. Like doing a black and white run through would be amazing. Oh my gosh.
I would.
Yeah. Well,
if you want to pick that up, that is $10.99 on its own, or an extra $10 if you buy the deluxe edition. So there you be.
All right.
Well, I know you got a stream to do. Do you have any final words before we let you go?
No.
Nice. Bye, Bree.
Bye.
Let's keep going. Next game to talk about, World Light, No Time to Trip. Developed and published by Imaginary Lab, released May 14th on Steam for $19.99. In the heart of Varus Bay, a brilliant idea takes shape in the hands of an eccentric inventor and an eclectic artist. Follow Margaret and Hector in a point-and-click graphic adventure that will take you to the edge of space and time to help them avert imminent danger. Dave, tell us about your time with Worldlight, No Time to Trip.
I will. Am I still getting wind on my end?
Yeah, a little. Just a smidge.
No, I held the fan up to my face because I'm an asshole. Hi, hello, gentle listener. No, just wait till I start eating. That's coming real soon. Hello, gentle listener, and welcome back to, as we are 46 minutes past the hour, welcome back to SML, the Soil Moisture Level Podcast. Get in the dirt with us! So let's turn back the clock. Please, everyone, please, this is important. Let's turn back the clock 2 years to when I, a young and innocent child of God, played the demo for Worldlight, No Time to Trip. It is a point-and-click adventure game. Yeah, it was 2020. It was July 2024.
Damn, time fucking flies. Wow.
I had to go back and listen to that episode to remember all the shit I said to see if any of it would be helpful writing this review.
The voices of children at the time.
Oh, man, yeah. I was so young and idealistic then. Truly. Anyway, Worldlight, No Time to Trip. It is a point-and-click adventure game where you start off playing Hector May, who is an inventor, because that's a job in video games, who wants revenge on his treacherous former assistant, Theodore, who stole one of his inventions via patent trolling and got rich off of it. You start the game by navigating one of Hector's weird, surrealist dreams, in which he comes up with a new idea for an invention. And then once he wakes up, it's a gauntlet of puzzles and fetch quests to gather the materials. This new invention and its construction takes up a significant chunk of part one of this game. I will start off by saying that Worldlight plays to the band a little bit in its execution. The puzzles rely too much on what I call adventure game logic. And they often have too many unnecessary steps, is fine. It's look for point and click veterans. It's fine. It's tedious for literally everyone else. Not everything needs to be a Rube Goldberg machine, you know?
True. Mm-hmm. Although those are fun.
They are fun, but not to play through over and over and over again. The plot for the game lacks focus. It could use a bit more signposting, even though there are a lot of literal signposts in the game that help you navigate the map. The game is set in, I think, the late 60s, early 70s, somewhere around there. It's also set in fake coastal California. Both of these choices are made without intention, which kind of bothered me a little. Like, you could set this game in any modern city, like in 2026, and little about it would change. Which is why, like, I had a lot of questions about why they made those aesthetic choices in the first place. I don't dislike them. I'll get into that more in a second, but more could have been done with the setting and time period, because it feels like those choices were made for a reason, but it's not apparent what they were. And they don't do enough with it. But that said, the setting does look really cool. Varus Bay, which is the fake California town that Hector lives in, looks like an old Spanish mission converted into a port town, and it has all that cool architecture in it. It is very funky and lived in a way that works well with Hector's casual, sure, I'm a loser, but it's 70 degrees every day kind of attitude. And some of the NPCs are pretty fun. The highlight so far is this homeless alcoholic you meet outside of a grappa bar who straight up talks like a Shakespearean buffoon. That guy is awesome. I wish we got way more of him in the game. He's really fun. You also get to defraud a child and terrorize a dog in this game.
Oh, Jesus.
Not in a way that hurts the dog. No harm comes to the dog, but it does fulfill the grand tradition of every point and click protagonist being a piece of shit somewhere deep down. And I will say, best of all, and this is a huge plus, and if the developer hears this, this is a sincere thank you on my part. I have not been thrown one circuit box rewiring puzzle yet. Wow. Now, granted, I have not beaten the game, which may call into question my readiness to review it, but that is not knowing what I'm doing has never stopped me before. I'm impressed the creative team held off for this long, not throwing any of that shit at me. Like, seriously, find you a man who loves you as much as point-and-click developers love circuit boxes and their rewiring. It is every fucking game they throw that at me. I cannot tell you how much I hate it. The fact that there has not been one so far, huge plus. I feel like recommending it full price for that reason alone. In any case, I go on about that for a while, and I got this sandwich staring at me, singing its sweet siren song. So to sum up, the game looks cool. The writing is fine. The voice acting is actual voice acting, and the graphics are engaging. There's kind of a neat like 3D characters and a kind of 2D background situation that I think looks really cool.
The Steam page says it's an irresistible cartoony aesthetic that will take you into a world of vivid colors and imaginative designs. They call it a unique visual style.
Unique. Yeah, honestly, I would co-sign all that. It's a very cool looking game. But the game itself might not grab anyone who isn't as much of a pain pig for this genre as, say, me. On a related note, this game marks the first time a developer has provided a walkthrough for reviewers, which was very much appreciated because I'm a dumbass with limited time. So I really appreciate the consideration on the developer's part. That is super cool.
Especially for a point-and-click adventure game, those can get a little obtuse.
Yeah, this one in particular, as I mentioned before, there needs to be a lot. There's not enough focus on what exactly you're supposed to be fucking doing at any given point. Like it does kind of depend on the player having played enough of these to kind of like know the rhythms.
Yeah.
Which it's not as a design choice is not ideal in my opinion. But that said, like it's not a bad game, and no circuit boxes are, again, I honestly am going to go ahead and say get it full price just for that. That is such an insane fucking novelty for this genre that you have to experience it at least once.
Well, if people were to pick it up before May 24th, they could save 15% and grab it for $16.99.
Yeah, no, that's, you would get that amount of enjoyment out of this game for sure. That is not an unfair price to ask.
All right. Well, then let's get an official verdict. $20 on this bad boy. Buy it, try it, deny it. What do you think?
I would say definitely get the demo first.
That's right. There is, in fact, a demo on the Steam page.
There is. I reviewed it 2 years ago. I probably said a lot of the same stuff, to be honest. I may have also actually eaten a sandwich during portions of that review, now that I think about it.
Possibly.
It's very likely. I'm amazed I've held off as long as I have. buy the demo, or not buy because it's free, download the demo and play through that. If you like the demo, you are going to like the rest of this game. And in that case, it's probably worth $20 to you. But if you play it and you're like, I don't know how much of this I would actually enjoy. I'd wait for it to go on sale.
Always add it to your wish list.
You're on the That's bench. True. You can always, that is, yeah, you can always do the most passive aggressive Steam window shopping move imaginable and just put it on the wish list. And then occasionally scroll through it wistfully, but then never buy anything off of it.
Until the summer sale.
It's just
sale.
There, like a, yeah, it's just there, like a string of fucking Mardi Gras beads, just waiting for someone to fucking grab it. It never happens.
All right. Well, Dave, that is it for you. I want to thank you for coming on, hanging out with us. We will let go so you can enjoy your sandwich.
Oh, God, yes. Yes, please. seriously, I am just rubbing my hands together in anticipation of eating this thing.
What kind of sandwich?
It is an Italian sub from Giant.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, we will let you enjoy that. Do you have any final words before we let you go?
Don't fake the funk on a nasty dunk.
Is that a ball pit euphemism?
What the fuck?
Yeah, I'm going to end there. I'm not getting that. I'm not getting a better reaction than that. I'm going to go on. Those are
the two best reactions we could have gotten. let's move on.
Fantastic.
Let's move on.
All right, good night, y'all.
See you later, Dave. Up next, the Crew Motorfest Ultimate Year 3 Edition, developed, published, provided to us for the purpose of this coverage by Ubisoft. The RC Frenzy update released May 6th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5, and PC for $9.99. The Year 3 Pass is available for $29.99. The Ultimate Year 3 Bundle is available for $119 and includes everything but the RC Pass, since that's a season pass, so you got to get those separate. Let the open world be transformed into a huge playground where anything becomes a racetrack dedicated to adrenaline-fueled remote-controlled cars supported by snappy handling and over-the-top physics. Grant, what is going on in both Year 3 and the RC Frenzy update?
Well, every year, Motorfest adds some crazy new thing. They're adding things all the time. They're adding new islands. They're adding all different modes. But this time, they are adding RC cars. Now, we've played RC games before. There's tons of different flavors. There's teeny tiny cars. There's middle-sized cars. These are more like go-karts. If you pull your RC car up next to a regular car in this game, it's about go-kart sized. You could probably ride on one of these things if you had to. They're piloted by little cute robot things with googly eyes. And they, strangely enough, you can drive these in first-person view, which I find hilarious. So they don't occupy their own class. RC cars aren't like, it's the RC category. There are ones that fall into the street tier classification. There's a rally raid RC car. So you can just race these like you can regular cars. These things go about 160 when they're all hopped up. So like, they're smoking. They're not teeny tiny little cars. They are fully functional, wild, almost Rocket League-like vehicles that have been stuck into the Motorfest universe, and it's really fascinating. You can put your camera pretty far up in the air, so you can really kind of see your surroundings, and there's a freaking jump button. You can preload a jump and then jump, and you are literally jumping over one-story houses with these cars. Geez. I mean, it's kind of insane. You can ride on the water as long as you keep your speed up. So I have this feeling that, you know how Capcom does things with like Resident Evil where they're like, if you beat it and you beat it quickly and well, we're going to give you things to just break the game. Like, we're just going to give you things to like enjoy all the things we've made, but in different ways. This feels kind of like that. I mean, you can traverse two areas of the map that you were never able to go on in a normal car because you don't get out of your car in Motorfest, right? So it's just kind of crazy, and they go stupid fast, and it's just hilarious. And you can hold down the extreme button when you're in the air and flip your car every which direction and do tricks. And it's really fun. It comes with a playlist of 10 different levels, and they're all very different. There's one that's sort of like a roller coaster. There's one that is like a top down view, kind of like you're playing Super Sprint in the arcade. You know, kind of like Super Off Road or something like that. Just a static top down view. All the playlist tracks are very cool. I think there's four RC cars total that you can do. And then they have like, there's different challenges and new, they all, every time they add one of these things, they add to sort of the photo opportunities and the sort of out in the world challenges and things like that. So they beefed up the list with RC specific stuff, but they're just kind of hilarious. I enjoyed the last year they put out the mode was called, but it was kind of like the cops and robbers mode, like the Chase HQ mode where you get like a souped up cop car and you go and you smash cars, knocking them off the road. That was really fun. But this is just a new way to play the game entirely. Like, they've built brand new islands that are basically like roller coasters anyway. So driving these things around in there is like really wild. It's the opposite of Forza Horizon in terms of like leaning. If you're leaning sim at all with Motorfest, this is the wild opposite of that. So that's the RC stuff. And then part of the year three pass gets you like all of the cars they will release over the next year for free without having to fight for them or buy them. The one thing about the Motorfest that's different than Horizon is that you really do have to work for your cars. You need to spend your hard-earned money on it. It doesn't feel predatory. It doesn't feel like there's a lot that you're just not going to get unless you spend money. But unlike the fire hose of cars from Horizon, which I understand is a bit less than six, but make you work
still for them. Like just.
Just a lot. Just
a shower of cars. Just a lot.
Well, it was maybe laugh at Horizon 3.
Especially with the premium edition where you get the X. Oh, my God.
I didn't get the premium. See, someone had told me that what they did to get it early was they bought the premium and then they went in Steam and you can turn off individual DLCs to load with the game. And they turned off the premium to load the game like a more vanilla version of the game. They just wanted to play it early. So they didn't bother with that stuff, but because I guess that's what was happening is they were just getting showered with cars too soon. But you know, that can happen. It made me laugh whenever I picked one of the three cars and they're like, well, the other ones are there too, just so you know. Like, you're not gonna have to buy them later. They're already in.
You're good.
It's just, which one do you want to drive right now? And I'm like, okay, this is definitely Forza. Little different here. So they try to make it worth buying a bunch of cars up front for the year. I will say that, like, you know, it's fun, and you get all kinds of different fitted packs and stuff for your vehicles, customization things. So there's, if you're into just staying up with everything the game has to offer, you can pay $30 for a year to get everything that they release. You're not competing in the summits, you're not spending any money, you can save for other weird cars, and you just get everything. There is also the RC bundle by itself, which is $10, I think. And then you're going to need to help me with this, Joe, because I thought the Ultimate Year 3 edition of the pack has the Year 3 pass with it, which includes RC cars. So you're saying if I buy like the Ultimate Edition of Motorfest, I don't get the RC cars?
It's weird because the RC cars are treated like a season pass.
Okay.
And they're not like technically DLC. It's weird in how they're being treated, but from what I could see, they're not included in the Year 3 pass or the Ultimate Edition. They're a $10 separate purchase, which gives you two cars immediately and two more that you can earn through the playlist.
Right, which you unlock as you play the playlist. Because it's a little confusing because I'm looking at this Year 3 edition, which has the Year 1 pass, Year 2 pass, and Year 3 pass in it. So by that logic, you don't get the cop cars either. You have to buy that separately.
Year 2 pass includes the Chase Squad experience.
Okay, so Year 3 pass doesn't include the RC?
Yeah, I don't know how or why they're handling it how they are, but...
Okay, that's new.
Shrug.
And peculiar. So I don't know what to recommend. What I was going to say is that if you are, especially if you're playing on PS5 and you don't have access to the new Forza, this Ultimate Year 3 edition of Motorfest is on sale for like $47 right now on PlayStation, the PS Store. And they have added so much stuff to this game in the last 3 years. Like, they've added three new islands. There's the Chase Squad stuff. There's Track Forge, which lets you build your own tracks and share with the community. There's NASCAR. There's Destruction Derby. There's a whole lowrider mode, which has all kinds of weird mini games in it. There's over 700 cars in this game now, which is insane. So if you're looking for a deal on a good car game, which in my opinion has a lot, it's offering things I don't think any car game, some stuff it's offering no car game has done. It's such a great deal to get this on discount. But you may be missing out on the RC pack if that's not included. So you may have to do a little research to see what you get. But well, go ahead.
I was going to say we could handle things individually price-wise and make verdicts that way. What do you think?
Yes. Yeah, it'd be great. Absolutely.
Year 3 pass is $30. What do you think of that?
I think if it doesn't include the RC car bundle, then that's not worth it. All you're getting is free stuff that will be available for free over the next year. Normally their passes include one thing that is exclusive. And so it was my understanding that if you buy the year three pass, which is what I had redeemed, it was only one code and it did include the RC pack.
It did include it?
It did include it, yes. Because I've been playing.
They may give you the entitlement to that as well through that. That would suck because I bought mine.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah,
gotcha.
I bought mine separately. So I wonder if I just did a double purchase.
Maybe. I don't know.
Oh, man. It's confusing how this is handled. Like under the year three edition, it says that includes the year three pass, the fitted jungle pack, the rainbow pack, year one, year two pass, Xbox One and Series X versions of the game. It doesn't mention the RC pack.
Gotcha.
Okay. I don't know 100%.
Like, yeah, we should. Yeah, so people would pay some attention, I guess.
But Ubisoft, if you listen to this, reply back. Let me know exactly like what's what. Will
sure. I think even if you were to get the ultimate, you didn't have Motorfest and you dove in and got the ultimate year three edition for $47 on PS5 and bought the RC car stuff on top because that completes the package for under $60. It's just the biggest car game you may have ever purchased in your life. There's so much stuff in here. I love it. I continue to play it on the regular. I love the new islands. I love the Track Forge. I don't think that paying for something that is just going to be released for free over the course of the next year is necessarily worth it. But I do think that the RC pack specifically is. So if you get that,
those
if you get
cars, that, you still got to own the pass to get those cars, don't you?
Yeah, I mean that's my understanding is you have to get the ghost cars and to get the RC playlist, you had to get the year three pass is what I thought was the case. And it was just sounding confusing.
But those other cars aren't just free to normal users through the rest of the year.
No, you can the RC cars are not. But the other cars that are being released over the course of the next year, there are two that are exclusive to the year three pass, and then there are other ones that can be won through summit events and stuff throughout the course of the year, or purchased with like in game money.
Year three pass says it includes a total of 20 new vehicles via monthly drops, including two exclusive on day one, and then there is also one more bonus vehicle for year one or year two pass owners.
Cadillac. Yeah, it's pretty wild. And the new Ferrari is very good too. So this game has a whole lot. And I don't know. I will say that like I just love the crew. I've always loved the crew. And what I've played of Horizon is a lot of fun so far. But there's just something about the complete unhinged nature of the Motorfest universe that is attractive to me now. I have gotten a little used to riding an RC car on the ocean, then turning into an airplane, driving over a volcano, turning into a dirt bike and falling into it is like pretty neat.
Do that in Forza.
No, you can't. It does. And Forza leans more on the sim side of controls. You really gotta, you gotta watch out for, gotta work hard to not feel like you're on ice. But it's a different game. But I'm just saying that, like, people who can't get Forza right now, the Motorfest is a fantastic option for sure.
And it's on sale frequently. So
it is on sale very frequently, and so are the packs as well. So, yep.
Oh, very good. Your official verdict on the $10 RC pack.
The $10 RC pack is a buy. It's a blast. And I'm absolutely enjoying what I'm playing with RC stuff. So
very cool. And just
there you go.
The crew as a whole, crew Motorfest, year three, year one, year two, year three, everything. What do you think?
I love it. The value keeps going up every time. And they've added so much stuff to this game. And keep adding, I mean, entire islands. I've never seen so much free DLC before for a series. I hope it's doing well. I assume it's doing well. I don't know how it works at Ubisoft, but I still love Motorfest.
Very good. All right, Grant, that is it for you. Are you going to head out or did you want to stick around for the last three reviews?
Yeah, I want to hear about all three of these, so I'm going to hang out.
All right, cool. Let's move on. Next up, Dead as Disco, developed and published by Brainjar Games, released May 5th. Steam Early Access for $24.99. Martial arts meets music video in Dead as Disco, a neon-drenched beat-em-up where every punch, kick, and combo syncs to the music. Join Charlie Disco on a quest to confront the villainous idols and reunite the band. Purnell, what is Dead as Disco?
So Dead as Disco features you, as you already mentioned, Charlie Disco, who comes back from the dead by way of apparently selling his soul for one night to get a chance to learn who killed him, being aided, and by aided, I mean literally just a mouthpiece, by a disco ball skull who communicates with him. This is an early access game, so what I describe may well be not the final model product, but spoiler, I like the game even now. You can deliberate on the price all you want, but as a game itself, it's already pretty fun. But the idea behind this is similar to games like, say, like Stretch Panic from back in the day. It is a boss rush of sorts where you are in a club that acts as your hub. And I'll describe other stuff there later. It's not a ton of things, but I'll describe those later. But for the most part, you go to the level select and you can choose between one of four different bosses that are available at the current state. All these bosses represent former members of Charlie's band who he wants to convert, because apparently there is an overarching villain named Harmony who now has them all working for him. Not understand none of it. Don't care, though. So you choose one of these characters, and it takes you to pretty much that boss's arena. A bit of a dialogue exchange occurs, and the battle begins. As music starts to blare over the speakers, you are tasked with beating down enemies, and eventually, potentially, the boss as well. Everything happens free flow, except for when attacks are actually triggered. So you have a base combo where you hit the attack button to punch. When you do, the game kind of does that weird thing where it just kind of fills you into the beat, so you don't feel like you're off beat by any means or whatever. You're always feel like you're punching to a rhythm, which is freaking awesome. Occasionally, you might see a prompt show up in the form of like a yellow button, or the Y button rather, which indicates that an enemy is about to attack you, and if you time your attack properly, you can counter it. So there's a counter button, which is the Y button. When that shows up, you press it, you grab the guy, you do a bit of a deflection attack, and you kind of stun them a little bit. Potentially, you might luck out. They might go into a stagger, which means that you can press the B button, which is telegraphed on the screen, and you can do additional damage to them, potentially even killing them. Other times, you might see A pop up, or a green indicator, which is indicating that the enemy is about to attack you, and you have to dodge it. Yeah, you probably might get lucky and be able to just run out of the way, but why the hell would you do that? This is a rhythm game. So you want to tap the A button, preferably to the beat. And there are visual cues for all this, by the way. So if you're rhythmically declined, this is not a thing that will prevent you from enjoying this game. But you hit the button to that when you see the button prompt show up, preferably on the perfect beat, and you'll dodge out of the way, and then you can resume your beatdown combo. Playing off all these things in proper succession, we'll see a beat combo go up, which will likely gain you more fans. I'll talk about them later. So eventually, you might, you know, go through a series of steps in this scenario, and then the battle stage will change a bit. You might get a bit of a dialogue, and the scenery will change, and now you might have new enemy types or new hazards on the screen. Maybe even the boss might want to pop in for a visit, do some damage to you, and try to fight back against you. And the watch, rinse, repeat concept is the same there. Though things I did not mention right off the cuff, though, is that as you're beating guys up, you are charging 2 meters. 1 meter is one that allows you to trigger special attacks that are linked to the R trigger button, which you hold down and then choose one of the face buttons so long as you have something equipped to it. And you can do the special attacks there. There's also an over or takedown attack, which is represented by a skull. And when that's filled up, you can press the Y and B button together to do a pretty decent attack. Usually good for decreasing the enemy's, the boss's stagger meter. So definitely want to hold that for those guys, unless you're fighting a particular jerkbag sub-boss that the boss might summon. Some of the bosses do summon sub-bosses to fight against you. Funny enough, that is me describing every battle in the game. It's just the experience of engaging them is what makes it particularly special. The set pieces change, the music changes, the tempo changes, and it's fun to engage with every step of the way. But like how I mentioned earlier that the battle, so the boss select is similar to Mega Man, I would say that beating bosses also has an effect similar to Mega Man. Because every time you beat a level, you will gain fans. Fans are this game's version of currency for upgrading two things. One, upgrading the main hub that you're in. You can purchase like paint jobs for the halls and stuff like that. You can purchase new furniture and other things, which will jazz up the space, opening up more dialogue options for the bosses that you defeat, which then show up in the club as residents there.
you can eventually unlock challenge mode. So you can do like special boss challenge. You have to fight like multiple bosses at the same time or like enemy patterns or whatever. The other thing you can spend this currency on is to upgrade your skill tree. And at the start, you only have a skill tree for beat Kwon Do. But every time you beat a boss, you'll unlock that boss's skill tree as well, which will include abilities, sometimes attacks that are unique to how that boss performed. It might be a new attack that hit to the special meter. It might be something cool regarding how you engage with basic combat, which, by the way, I would recommend you fight Dex first, because he gets a really cool ability to let you throw your drumstick at a guy and then teleport to the drumstick and continue your beatdown unabated by time. It's glorious.
Hockey, make sure you don't miss that unique that he said.
That's right. There's a lot of fun to be had with this game. Like, it's obviously somebody might say there should be more, they want more content, I being one of them. And if I pay $24.99 for this, I might also find myself going, whew, that's a lot of money for fighting these four bosses. Now, don't get me wrong, there's also like a sort of free play slash challenge mode here where you can run through a good chunk of different songs and set them up in the game to run while doing this like battle mode or whatnot. So you can play around with the other songs that are in the game too. There's a whole about 30 or so, some licensed, some not. And if you're a streamer, they do give you the ability to play without those songs in the rotation so that you can actually, you know, play the game on stream. But I would like to see something like maybe this game ends up not being just a boss rush. Maybe there's a stages leading up to the bosses. But if not, I get it. I mean, I love Stretch Panic, and that was nothing but bosses.
Have they said anything about what they're kind of planning? Like just a general idea of what kind of, is it going to be more of this or?
To be perfectly honest, I'm not even sure. Like, yeah. I came into it almost completely blind. Like, I heard the game. I'm a sucker for like music based games. So when Joe was like, hey, would you like the message? I was like, well, yeah, it's on my wish list, so I'll try it. But I'm honestly not sure what their overall plan is for this thing.
Yeah, I'm actually
buying myself some time to see if they have a, it may well just be a boss rush, which again, if it is, that's totally fine. That's totally fine. The ability to play with uploaded music may end up adding a lot of playtime to this too, because if the game ends up being, you know, fun for like score challenges, like for example, you get like five songs and each of those songs may have like a score you can shoot for if you do play a certain way. And then everybody can say, well, if you play this song, see if you can beat the score or whatever. Or it might just be a thing you choose to do. Because, again, worth noting is just the fact that beating people up to a rhythm is a lot of freaking fun. I'm wagering someone has to have done this before, not including Hi-Fi Rush, which I definitely know did it.
Do you remember the game Kick Beat?
No, unless that's that fighting game. Grant, but I don't remember that being
for you. Remember Kick Beat?
Yes.
Zen Studios.
Wasn't that? Yeah, Zen Studios. Exactly. Yep.
It was a rhythm game where you hit A, B, X, Y as people would circle around and approach you, and you would have to attack them based on the button prompts. And kind of sounds like this could be somewhat similar to it.
I will say one change that this has that one doesn't. I'm looking at it now on Steam because, of course, I am. Is, yes, I definitely get the idea of being like, okay, enemies are coming at you, hit them to the beat. But that in its own right can best be described as a typical rhythm game, just the coat of paint is people walking up on you. Not saying that's a bad thing. I would totally enjoy it, but it literally is, here you go, enemies coming. As long as you can read how they're coming, you're just like, bam, 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 bam. But this game has that added bit of flow state that comes from you having to maneuver a battlefield, because there's obstacles taking place here too. Like, you might be fighting a boss, and while you're fighting him, lightning's coming down from the sky at certain points, and you don't want to get struck while you're fighting enemies, which admittedly can be a bit of an annoyance if you're like, I'm trying to beat people to the beat, now I got to dodge this damn lightning bolt. But the game, at least for now, has been fairly generous, where if you're like locked into like a counter combo or something, I don't think they count the hit when you get struck while you're in the middle of that combo, because you're in it. You can't get out of it. But with that said, I kind of want to try Kick Beat. I'm putting it on my wish list now. If it goes on sale, I'm going to buy it. But this game is a lot of fun, and I really hope that they decide to do a lot more with it, because it deserves that. It definitely does. And I'm actually kind of sad that I don't see like anything on, like, I'm not sure, like, I got to go find and see if I can locate like an actual, like, like an update schedule or something for this game.
No. I know they say the full version, they plan to add the completion of the campaign, new bosses, new skills and abilities, multiplayer co-op, upgraded arenas, more rock star fashion, the true end game, and more music. They also have expansions planned. Let's see what else is here. The price will go up as they make additions during early access. And it sounds like the whole My Music option in this could be the big draw. Like, I could play Stemmage in this game.
I could just play. And that's what I was saying earlier. Like, if it's done right, if it's done right in the way that it doesn't feel like, well, I'm just playing this song, but it doesn't feel very impactful. As long as they don't do something like that and they actually make it feel like there's a reason why you'll want to play a different song here. Like, again, like a rhythm game, like a traditional rhythm game, they all have like some level of score or something attributed to it that says that song has a certain intensity to it, more notes you had to hit. And if you get a good score on it, everyone's going to know, wow, this guy kicked ass on this song on hard difficulty. So you take a good Stemmage track, slap it in here, the game does whatever it's going to do to make the song run for the game, and you get a high score, everyone's going to know. That, I think, would be the kicker. Because I would love something like that.
Sounds good to me.
Oh, yeah, man. You'd love this, I think. You like beat-em-ups, don't you?
I do.
Very much. You'd love this. Games.
Yep. I don't normally play early access stuff because I just because I don't want to ruin it for myself. You know, I tend to not come back to games, and so it's a very, very wish-listed, so I'm going to keep an eye on it.
It's a good mindset to have. I've had two Steam early access games that just don't finish, but I feel like when a game has a roadmap already established and stuff, I'm more likely to see a final product, so I'm comfortable with those.
Yeah. All right. $25. Oh, official verdict.
Buy the shit out of this game. It is a lot of fun. And frankly, like I said, I could be either here nor there on the monetary cost, but I feel like in general, I had enough fun just playing this version. If it stopped now, I could say I had a fun game here. I just wish they did more with it. So there you go. It's already good.
And they're sitting at overwhelmingly positive reviews.
It's deserved. So. It's deserved. It's very well deserved.
Now all they have to do is get Stemmage in the game.
There you go.
Oh, that would be cool.
That'd be cool. Hey, devs, if you're listening, this guy Stemmage that we know, Grant, you heard of him, right?
Yep, he's okay.
He's really good.
Pretty good.
I heard he's a very elusive guy, but when you get in touch with him, he's hard to track down.
I don't know.
Elusive.
With that said, though, it's kind of weird that I've never seen Stemmage and Grant in the same room at the same time. It's crazy.
That's weird. That's crazy.
It's absolutely insane. Also, I heard you go Yousef, and God, yes, that guy, I probably feel like he probably seems like a fraud friend because I'm like, that's my boy. I've had maybe two chats in my life with him, but I don't care. He's a drumming ace.
He's probably one of the greatest musicians on the planet, and it's incredible to watch him.
The first time I saw him play was he was working with another artist up in Philly, like Animal Style or something like that. Yeah. The expressions he was making while he was drumming sold me. I was like, this dude is amazing. He's really good, and he's extremely expressive. What's not to like? I'm sold.
It's true.
Good stuff. All right, let's move on. Right. Up next, Sledding Game, developed and published by the Sledding Corporation. It released April 30th as Xbox, Play Anywhere, and PC for $7.99. Sledding Game is a multiplayer snow sports hangout game with proximity chat. Go sledding, relax, and see what else there is to do. There's also ragdoll physics, so the crashes look terrible. Really, really good. Aki, what's Sledding Game?
Okay.
Besides adorable as hell.
Yeah. NS, you play as a frog until you unlock other skins, and then you can be other things. I think right now I have a bear and a penguin also unlocked. And I know there's a fox and a different type of bear also unlockable, and I think there's like another six or so more on top of that, so yay. And yeah, you're just chillaxing and hanging out at a ski resort, more or less. You can exit it and jump on to a sled. You start off with just like a tin can, you know, trash can tin lid, and you make money by doing tricks while you're sledding. So if you go off a slope, you can do flips and spins and stuff, and getting better landings also gets you more coins.
Or you can wreck.
Yeah, you can wreck. Yeah, there's that too. I do that a lot. There's also, if you gather enough speed, you also get some coins as well. And you use those coins to turn around and buy new customization stuff for your character. So new hats, goggles, necklaces, things like that. Or also buying new sleds and power-ups that you can set down. Be it like, oh, here's a wall just so you don't slam off the area you're trying to go through, or here's a boost so you can go a little faster so you can make that glorious thing called money, and stuff like that. Stuff is kind of expensive. I think yesterday I spent a good chunk of the day after me, or was it yesterday or was it the day before? Whatever. Me and Joe played for a while together, and then I played on my own for a couple hours after that, and I bought two items that cost like 80k a piece that were just sleds.
Wow.
Yeah, and those weren't the cheapest sleds, but they definitely weren't the most expensive. The next one I want to get is like 500k.
Jeez.
Yeah, and it's still not the most expensive bitch in there. You can
you mentioned we played online. We got to mention this quick right off the bat. I could not get my microphone working on PC.
Yeah, like, I never tried.
It works on Discord. It works in OBS. It works on everything else I need it to. It would not work in game. It detected my mic. Like, it knew it was there, but no sound would come through, and I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah. But when you're in with other people, there are some games, more or less, that y'all can play. You can throw snowballs at each other, which is kind of fun. There's even a little arena. Yeah. There's also an arena that you can go into that is a snowball fight arena, basically. There are races. You can do those single or against other people, and it does get you money. That's a way I was farming money after we played, actually. There's also the way you unlock the different outfits and different character skins requires two or three people, because all of them are basically, oh, hey, you found this statue out in the wild somewhere, somewhat-ish, kind of, sort of, sometimes close by are three nifty little targets that you have to hit with snowballs, which are really hard to throw, by the way. They're incredibly hard to figure out where they're going to land and so on and so forth, because
I nailed you that one time pretty easily from a distance too. That was,
yeah, cool. I walked into the bitch, but
that was good though. Oh, first shot.
Yeah,
but the rest of them were horrible, but that first one, damn.
Yeah. So, yeah, you have to actually hit these three targets, and it's within a very limited period of time. And once you hit all three, you unlock the skin that's attached to it by walking up to the statue, I believe, and just grabbing it. So there's that you need to do that requires three people. And there's lots of the achievements are for doing things with other people, like sitting on a bench for 10 or 20 minutes or whatever with someone else. Or, hey, you ran someone over with your sled because that's funny. Stuff like that.
I mean, the game's designed to be a social game, so you're meant to be playing with other people.
Yeah, if you're playing the solo, you're probably not going to have a lot of fun, necessarily, unless you just like farming money, in which case, then you're going to have a lot of fun quickly, hopefully, unlocking stuff. I don't have the patience to do it for too long until I can set up automated shit. So, meh. But yeah, if you and your friends aren't going to get this together, I don't know how much fun you're going to end up having unless you really like interacting with strangers, in which hopefully you'll be able to interact with people.
Yeah, when I couldn't get the mic working, like, we were in a public game and people were just coming in and they were trying to help me, and everyone seems super welcoming and friendly. So I think if you just open up a game and leave it public, you might make some new friends in this.
That's cool.
Honestly, I think that might be the case as well, because I've been looking around after we were finished playing together, and there was a fairly decently sized community that had been playing together and stuff, just playing the demo for untold, ungodly amounts of hours. So there is already it's not a huge community, mind you, but there's already a community that seems like they're rather attached to this game from the demo, and they're in here playing it with people. So this isn't one of those games where I'm like, I don't know if it'll be any good, because I don't know if anyone's going to ever show up for the game, which is something that happens for every multiplayer game. This has a base already. It's not a huge base, but it has a base, and that's a rarity. You never see stuff like that. That's really cool.
I think a big thing that helps it is the price tag, because a lot of games are coming out now, $20, $25, $30. This is $8. And there's a lot to do in this game.
Oh yeah, if you like achievements, you're going to be playing this for a good long while. There's also crossplay, so even if there's not a bunch of like Xbox players, the Steam people, there's a fuck ton of Steam people. Those are all the people that I was like, there's a small community already that, yeah, they're Steam players, and they are forever on there.
And I would imagine, given the success of the game so far, that the Sledding Corporation is likely looking into other platforms as well. So
hopefully.
I would imagine seeing this on anything. By the way, this is a solo dev named Max.
Oh, I thought it was just a small team. I didn't realize it was one single person. Holy shit.
Hi, I'm Max. Sledding Game is my first video game. My first ever video game. I've been sharing my dev progress online since the start. Follow him on socials.
That's great.
That is insane.
And he's been interacting a bunch with like player feedback and stuff, and also with rules and regulations. As he comes across, he does something, he's like, oh yeah, I can't do that. That's right. Because for a while, there was a gambling mechanic in the demo, and he was like, oh yeah, I had to remove that, because that...
ESRB,
if I went to go get this rated, it would make it an adult game because of straight up gambling, because it was straight up a roulette wheel. He's like, so yeah, no, I had to take that out. And I'm like, yeah, fair.
All right, $8 on this. What is your official verdict?
This is an easy recommend. This is good for everybody, all ages. I'm totally for this.
I agree, 100% buy this one. Support small devs, support this community. We've had our eyes on this one since we first saw the trailer. How long ago, whatever presentation it was, I'm sure it was an Xbox event.
It was a while ago.
We were interested in this since the first second we saw it, and like it's just fun. So buy it.
Awesome.
One final game to talk about tonight, that is called Rock Quest, a rhythm adventure developed and published by Goblin Dreams. It released May 1st on Steam for $14.99. Dive into a story-rich rhythm adventure where battles play out as real-time musical showdowns. Lead your punk rock band through a retro-inspired New Orleans, teeming with danger and mystery. Pernell, another music game this week. What's going on in Rock Quest?
So, Rock Plus involves you playing as four band members who kind of start out in their house in New Orleans, and after watching a news segment, they decide to go to the pawn shop next door to meet. I can't even remember why they went there, but they go to the pawn shop next door, and you immediately have your first band battle, or first battle with a group called the Vortex as a rival band of yours, and this is where you immediately get to learn how combat works in this game. And what it basically boils down to is like a button-based, like Guitar Hero style game where buttons are coming down from the top of the screen to the bottom. Or like pop music, actually. And when the notes cross over the bottom, you hit the buttons, either the directional pad or the face buttons, to the rhythm as best you can. And as you do so, you'll do damage to the opponent. If you are able to hit notes on the rhythm being a perfect beat, you'll charge up a super meter. And that super meter, so long as you don't miss or screw up your combo, will continue to grow. At certain intervals, you can hit the left and right bumper buttons to do an attack, a special attack, on the enemies on the side. Eventually, you'll do enough damage, and you'll defeat them. And the game will give you a score based on how well you did. And then after that, you'll proceed through the story as such. You might be asking, like, okay, well, is he describing any, like, systems that the game has or anything like that? And the answer is no, because the game doesn't have any. As you play the game, you are pretty much going, you're following an arrow to the next objective, defeating the enemies as you come across them while following said arrow. If you win, you move on to the next sequence until the game is eventually done, of which I was able to complete it in about an hour. If there's any enemies that I've missed, I'd be surprised to have discovered that being the case, because I even went off the beaten path and tried to find things when I could. The game is enjoyable as far as the combat goes, because at its core, you are tapping buttons to a beat. And I have yet to really play a game where I did not enjoy doing that. the hurdle I have here is the fact that they mentioned, like, you know, there's 77 songs here, and having played lots of rhythm games, I was expecting, you know, songs like involved songs, or even just like quick 1.5 minute songs, but they're all pretty much, you know, vibing, or they transition, they vibe. But the songs in this game are generally, I feel like this is more of a Grant statement. He'll probably be like, "Pardon, here's the technical way to describe that." But it's basically like one measure run multiple times over and over again, and then they'll run maybe a second measure over and over again, and then they'll loop back to the first one, and the game will do that a number of times until he stops doing it. And if you didn't defeat the enemy by then, they gauge your score based on who had the least energy at the time. Like, you know, I'm talking about, like, Grant, like, if you were in your garage playing guitar and you were trying to work out a new tune for a concert, you're like, okay, did it, 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 and you just keep doing that. And then you switch to bop, and you do that a number of times, then go back to the first thing and keep repeating that loop.
Yeah.
That's kind of how the songs are in this game. Now, don't get me wrong, they'll have like a guitar playing, and they might have like, it might change tones from time. It may go from dan and it to wow, but it's the same idea I described. There's not a lot of variety, and the songs are pretty much just kind of like, we're just kind of riffing in the garage to get some songs in this game, which makes me feel like this is probably like a first game from a group of, like, you know, new designers, which I respect, which is why I'm not like, oh no, bro, this is eh. But
well, this at the is same the first time, game listed for Goblin Dreams, so
yeah. So that's why, like, I'm not ragging on it or nothing like that. But at the same time, I got to be honest in the sense that I would say if you were going to buy this game, you're buying it to support an up and coming developer, flat out, because, like, I got a couple chuckles out of some of the dialogue lines that took place in the game. There were some, like, classic game references I caught. But for the most part, I was just like, let me get to the next battle. Let me get to the next battle. Okay, this is over already. Whoa. Okay. But
I'd imagine there's like a quick play in the game, right? Because the store page is saying there's over 70 tracks in the game.
Yeah, so that's what I'm going back to. So remember how I said you come across an enemy, and when you fight the enemy, you get a song that plays, right? So, and honestly, I could totally play a song on the episode through my cell phone right now. But basically, every time you fight an enemy, that enemy is registered as a song. So if you go to the arcade mode, as in not the story mode, You can engage with any number of those scenarios and try for a better score. For example, just going to read the first few. Scenario one is the vortex, followed by a museum, basement rats A, B, C, D, and E. And then the Rat King. And that's the first level of the game. So that is basically right there. That is seven songs that you can choose. So, and that's how it works. And it goes that way all the way through until you beat the game. Every encounter is a scenario boss, which is its own song that you can play to get a better score.
Gotcha.
Mm. Gotcha.
And with that said, I'm looking at the final boss when it finishes loading up. Oh, I'm on hard mode and I played it on medium, which, by the way, I did do some like free play stuff on hard to see if the notes were more dense or if they came faster. But the only difference that I noticed, I could be wrong here, is that you take more damage if you're not on the beat.
Mm. How many difficulties
you get are the same?
Did you mention how many difficulties there were?
No, I did not. There's an easy, medium, and hard.
All right. I wasn't sure if there was like expert plus, because I know rhythm fans, they love their difficult shit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, skill ceilings and all that. But the thing is, in this game, it wouldn't matter because of the fact that the difficulty only affects how much damage you take, where the thing that makes, you know, difficulty good in rhythm games is that it makes the note charts denser. You're playing more of the chords or more of the notes or whatever instrument the song the game has. So you're actively advancing in the difficulty to get more notes played per song.
All right. Well, let's talk price on this one. It clocks in at $15. What are your thoughts on Rock Quest, a rhythm adventure?
I don't want to use the traditional system because I'm going to specifically state I recommend this game in the event that you want to support an up and coming dev, because I played through it. I was trying to set high scores and the game is competent, but at $15, it's hard for me to justify that as a buy or even a try unless it was to support them as a developer.
What would you do to improve it?
I mean, honestly, I'm not even sure. Like, the best would think of it like this, like a game. Okay, before let me think. Okay, so if I wanted to improve this game, all right, well, the music would have to be more involved. I mean, even if it resulted in you saying every one of the bosses of a certain enemy type had the same song, if you did more with that song, I wouldn't mind so much. Basically, give me more of an actual song to be played when I'm doing battles. Side quests would be nice. Let me see.
I think that the difficulty you mentioned would be a good idea if they would like readdress difficulty to make the note charts more dense or move quicker. That sounds like it should be a no-brainer, honestly. That should have been there from the start, really.
Well, therein lies the rub, though, right? Like, so if you played Guitar Hero, right? Guitar Hero, though, it's been ages since the last one, but I'll go with Rock Band. It's been ages since that, too. Shit. If you play Rock Band Guitar Hero, if you ran that, and say, for example, you played Cherub Rock on easy, right? You can play that and hear that there are notes you're not playing, right? I'm not even talking about having to hit three buttons at the same time instead of one. I'm saying you can literally see you're not playing all the notes on that song.
Yeah.
Whereas on hard, you're getting hit with everything. It's like, oh, shit. In this game, I do feel like I am playing all the chords because the chords are do, 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 do. Like, I am hitting them. So I'm not sure what they would even add because the songs themselves aren't complicated or not complex enough to have more.
Mm-hmm. And that, I guess you could look into reduction for easier difficulty and keep that as the hard chart, just to have varied charts. Like instead of do, 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 it would be like do, do, do.
You could do that.
Because that's like what Rock Band does. They'll just chop notes out.
They chop
and
stuff out.
Keep the important notes and, you know, the hammer-ons and trills and stuff like that. They just go by the wayside and you handle what's easiest to play. So maybe, I don't know. I'm just spitballing. I'm not sure what they could do on this, but I like the look of it. It looks entertaining. It just seems like there needs to be more there.
I mean, it's basically my way of saying I can see them doing more with their next product. Like I say, if this is like, this is where we're starting from, we want to keep going and making more games, I can see them doing something different with the next game. Like I said, like, if the game, like, for example, even something simple like equipment, but I feel like is equipment a thing that this game would benefit from due to the fact that the game is very much, I beat it in an hour by going down a linear path. Like, it's a future game would be, if it was bigger, then it would be a reason to say, okay, if I can fight these guys, I'll get income. The income can be used to acquire equipment to boost the character stats. Now, this character, if I hit their notes in a song, their character's attacks do more damage than, to say, the drummer's attacks did damage. Stuff like that. Like that's the kind of stuff I could see being improvement. But for that to happen, it would be like, okay, we learned more. Now we're going to go into our next game. It's going to be bigger. And that's the expansion part. But as this is, like, I'm not sure what would make it better. It's more like, I hope, I look forward to what you do next.
Yeah.
And give me more of a canvas to paint on.
Well, I'll ask a different question than buy it, try it, deny it. Should people wish list this and check it out on a sale? Or should they just ignore this one?
Try it on a sale.
Cool beans. All right. And with that, we are finished. Brunel, Grant, Aki, thank you for hanging out this whole time, being here. Big thanks to Dave for coming on, doing his thing. Big thanks for Bree for coming on, chatting with us, hanging out. Music this episode. Grant, pick a song off Narrowband.
Oh. Hmm. Okay. How about Astronaut?
Perfect. So we are going to listen to Astronaut as the final song of the night. Does anyone have anything else to say, or should we wrap this up?
Don't let the dunk out of your funk or something like that. What was it?
What you're trying to say, but
I don't know what he said.
It is a real thing. I just don't remember where it even came from, but it is a thing that there's he heard somewhere else.
Give me a chunk, a hunk of that funk.
Oh, okay, that. Nice job, Joe.
We'll go with that one.
Did you go back to an earlier part of the recording? It was like, I found it. Here it is.
That definitely wasn't it.
We'll just replay Dave's final words. Dave, take it away.
Don't fake the funk on a nasty dunk. We'll be right back.